Country Life on Midlands 103. Brought to you by W. Orshaw Burlington Business Park Tullamore, supplier of New Holland's tractors in the Midlands. WORshaw.ie.
And you're very welcome to Country Life here on Midlands 103. It's MJ Cleary with you for the next hour, bringing you the latest from the Midlands and further afield from the worlds of agriculture, food and agribusiness. Now, thank you all for joining me this evening on May Day, the traditional start of summer under the Celtic festival of Beautna, which of course is May in Irish in current times. The lighting of fires is synonymous with this festival, and it's the traditional start to the grazing season in times past, where cattle were turned out to graze for the summer. I'll be delving into this topic in greater detail later with Francis Fahy from the Beautna Fire Festival, which takes place in County Westmeath on the Hill of Uisneach on the 11th of May. It's a hugely important and significant site. Here on our doorstep, we'll learn more about it in just a few minutes, about traditions from a bygone time here on the programme. Also this evening, I'll be speaking to Jason Fleming from the IFA. Jason is the National Forestry Chair. He's going to have news for us on the just-launched ash dieback scheme for farmers. This has been a long time coming, and we're going to hear details about it in just a moment. Now, with the month of May comes the breeding season. And obviously, look, with this weather over the last couple of days, breeding is going to be an issue. We need some kindness, as somebody said to me yesterday, some mildness and some kindness. We had good promise last week, but the last few days have been a lot of rain and just that cold, biting weather. But if an animal was inseminated today, the cow would be calving on the 7th of February. So whether we like it or not, the breeding season is upon us. Kayla McNamara is an AI tech technician from Eurogene, and he will chat to me later on what's his busiest time of the year. Heat detection, bull selection, they're going to be the topics we cover in a little bit. Towards the end of the hour here in the programme, we have news for farmers who are in the SCEP programme. So you'll have to attend training to ensure you receive your payment this year. Those training modules must be completed by the 15th of November. So fear not, you have a number of months to do them. Jimmy Cosgrove from the ICSA will have info on that. They are online, and that's the issue the ICSA have in relation to those. We'll hear about them a little bit later. Michael Flanagan, also from the National Livestock Hall of Fame Awards, which take place this coming weekend in Athlone, will join us to give a flavour of what's on offer at the event on Sunday. There's a Lifetime Achievement Award for a famous individual involved in horse racing, and there is also a Farmer's Oscar for a leashman. We're going to hear about that a little bit later. Please text the show with your comments, thoughts or questions, or WhatsApp us indeed to 083 3010 103. As I said at the outset, news of an ash dieback scheme came to the fore on Tuesday of this week, and Jason Fleming is the IFA Forestry Chair. Jason, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
Thanks for having me on.
More than welcome, Jason. Our reporter Rachel Timoney here in the newsroom interviewed Minister McConlogue yesterday. Here's what he had to say about the ash dieback payment, and we'll get your thoughts in just a moment.
Well, I think it's a very significant measure by the government to provide support to those farmers who have unfortunately seen their plantations decimated by ash dieback. And overall, the package that we brought to Cabinet this week, Minister Hackett, Pippa Hackett and myself, amounts to €237 million of a commitment to the 6,500 farmers who have ash dieback. It's overall, what it will do is it will see the plantations there. It will provide funding to ensure the plantations can be cleared, and also then that they also can be replanted, and the full cost of that will be covered. And then subsequent to that as well, then there will be €5,000 tax-free per hectare of a payment to farmers who have been affected. And also then for those farmers that still have some years left in their annual premiums, those premiums will be brought up to the level of the current forestry scheme, which is anywhere between 40 and 60% higher in terms of the annual premium payments in the outgoing scheme, which ash dieback farmers have been availing of. So it's a very, very significant contribution and a very significant commitment from the national taxpayer and the national exchequer and from the government to support farmers who have been affected by this. Of course, it doesn't do away with the massive impact that this has had on those farmers who are affected. It has been quite traumatic for all of those. Obviously, they would have planted in the expectation of being able to look forward towards the harvest. They would have been fully eligible even after being affected, and even though in many cases the trees would have been rotting, they would retain the full rights to their premiums, but obviously the harvest now is many, many years in the future, whereas they would have been hoping for a harvest much more in the much more immediate future.
And that was Minister McConlogue speaking about the ash dieback payment, which has been announced for farmers. Jason, what are your thoughts on it from a forestry perspective, please?
I suppose we, firstly, we had a forestry committee meeting yesterday morning. A lot of mixed opinions on it, to be fair. This saga, I suppose, with ash dieback has gone on with the last 12 years. And I suppose I would welcome that the Minister and the Department and Board Minister Hackett and Minister McConlogue, it's the first time they actually recognise that farmers have incurred a serious financial loss. And I think that is the first time, and it's nice to see the Minister recognising that they are now. Besides that, I suppose, look, these farmers planted for and they'll be hoping to get a pension fund, and look, they're after ending up with nothing now. And I suppose the emotional toll that disease have taken on farm families as well, that has to be recognised. But look, saying all that, this is a step in the right direction. There's a lot of lobbying and a lot of working on this and trying to get some package across the line. At least there is a package there now for farmers. He did mention what's new. Minister McConlogue mentioned what is new in this package is the €5,000. I suppose it's a long way from the €1,000 the department offered maybe, I suppose, a few years back for the care out the site. So we're a good bit down the road, but like I say, it doesn't I suppose fit all. One size doesn't fit all. And what I mean by that is that a guy with a plantation that's 15 years old and a guy with a plantation with 30 years old, there's a massive difference in caring out the site. The fellow with the farmer which is 15 years old, I mean, that's going to take a lot, cost a lot less than bringing in machines to take out a 30-year-old site. And it's the same money. It's the 2,000 per hectare there. It's what's in the package. And look, there's no way 2,000 euros a hectare is going to take out a site that's 30 years old. And look, what I'm hearing is at least double that.
Yeah, so obviously the devil is in the detail when it comes to these deals and an overview. It sounds good, 237 million, and we're hearing all these different aspects of it. But when you're involved in it, which you are, Jason, you obviously can look at it with a finer level of detail. And the fact that those older plantations are going to cost more won't be satisfied under the 2,000 per hectare. The part of it, I suppose, the 5,000 tax-free per hectare is a tip. Look, the ash dieback was a terrible affliction on forestry owners. There's no question about it. But the 5,000, at least they're acknowledging that here is a more substantial amount of money. It's tax-free, look, as forestry payments are. It's not going to be the same as what you'd get when we're going to fell it in years to come. As you say, it's going to be a pension pot for a lot of farmers. But at least they are getting there, if you will. Do you think this is the final figures on these, Jason, or is there any more negotiation to be done on your side?
I suppose on our behalf, that we had a meeting on this with the department. There is a task force being set up on ash dieback. So look, I don't think it's the end of the road. I think that we can go back and maybe try to get additional funding. But what I will say, just to break down the 5,000, just for guys that are involved with plantations, for farmers, you get 2,500 up front, and then it's 1,250. At the second stage, and it's over the 3 years, then you get another 1,250. So I suppose it's about over the 3 or 4 year period that you get the full 5,000. Mm. But what we would be hoping that 5,000 wouldn't be, I suppose, go to contractors and foresters and so on. That at least that 5,000, if the farmer could get that into his paw as such, it would make a big difference. And we can't have, I suppose, leakage as I said that. Paying over the 30 years, a plantation's 30 years is going to cost a lot more than 2,000 to take it out, and that's something we will be pushing. But I suppose another good thing to do with it as well, the guys that did sign up to the IUS, which we did lobby the minister on, that any guy that did sign up, any farmer that did sign up, they will get this additional funding now, so that's in place. And look, and that has to be recognised as well, that a lot of guys did sign up there over the last couple of years, and they're going to get the 5,000 as well, which that is welcome as well, yeah, to be fair.
And maybe it's a silly question, Jason, but for the people who are affected with ash dieback, is there any level of the plant or the tree that can be salvaged for maybe firewood? Like, is it total wipeout on plantations, or does it depend on location and whatnot?
My understanding is look, in cases that there's 99% of the plantation is wiped out. Then there is more cases that, look, you could have 50 saw and 60, 70. You know, it all depends on when it caught hold of the plantation and so on. So, but look, you'll be hoping some farmers would be able to salvage some bit of firewood and so on. And there is questions as well. I suppose a lot of farmers wanted to bring that land, and it's because look, when you're planting ash, you're planting it in the best of your land. It doesn't grow on peaty sizes and baddish ground. So, about bringing it back into agricultural use, I think the agro forestry there seems to be I think it is a good option for if you are going back in with agroforestry, at least you better bring part of the ground back into agricultural use for the likes of sheep and cows and fructic cows and stuff like that. Yeah. So look, I think that is a positive as well that they're allowing that. Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that, Jason. Yeah, that is a positive now if they are allowing agroforestry as well. It's another aspect to it, you know.
Yeah, and look, I suppose there is a lot of negativity around forestry with the last 4 or 5 years, especially. Ash Tyback was in a meeting. I went into be at the department, the minister, the Taoiseach. Ash Tyback was always the first thing out on the table. I suppose we have to acknowledge that we are taking a step here in the right direction, and there is something being done. Look, it doesn't go. We didn't get what we want. We want a lot more, but it is going the right direction. And look, all we want in this country, I suppose, in regards to forestry, is to get a bit of confidence back into the sector. Look, the programme we planted 1,600 hectares last year. It's looking like it's going to be might be less this year. So, and we've targets of 8,000 hectares. So, I mean, all everyone is looking for is trying to get a bit of confidence back into the sector. And you know, the big problem with forestry is the regulation around it. Even the 1 hectare ground there now that a lot of farmers are looking at the amount of red tape following it and I suppose the leakage in paying forestry companies and foresters to make out applications. I mean, when we planted 30 years ago, it was a lot easier, very farmer friendly. You could do a lot of the work yourself, but dim days are gone, unfortunately. And I think the sooner we get back to that, the better, to make it farmer friendly to plant trees.
Yeah, absolutely. Many thanks, Jason. We'll speak to you again on the programme. Jason Fleming there from the IFA. And if you are an affected farmer, that is what's been put on the table. But as Jason said, look, there's still negotiation to be done, especially on behalf of the IFA with those payments. The one thing I'd always say about Ash Dieback, had a farmer on the programme here a number of years back from County Westmeath, and the name of the farmer escapes me, but he was affected with Ash Dieback at the time, and what he likened it to was an animal dying in the field and you just having to leave it there, not being able to go near it, and just watching it decay in front of you. And he said the mental health toll alone which it took on farmers who were affected was absolutely enormous, and it was something that always resonated with me. So at least steps are being made in the right direction there for affected farmers. Now, moving on, and after the break, we are going to be talking about the breeding season, which is upon us. Kayla McNamara from Eurogene AI is going to be speaking to us, so stay tuned.
Country Life on Midlands 103, brought to you by W. Orshaw, Burlington Business Park, Tullamore, supplier of New Holland's tractors in the Midlands, worshaw.ie.
And you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103, and we are moving on to the topic of breeding. Given it is the 1st of May, the traditional start of the breeding season, we have Kayla McNamara from Eurogene AI on the line. Kayla, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
Thanks very much for having me, MJ.
You're more than welcome, Caleb. Look, you're a busy, busy man at the moment, AI technician servicing South Offaly, North Tipperary. I asked you, I was talking to you yesterday, and you said if a cow was inseminated, when would she calve? I think yesterday was the 7th of February, so we're right in the thick of it now. When did you start up, Caleb? Breeding's getting busy, getting earlier and earlier every year.
Yeah, so we have about four weeks AI done at this stage. Some lads hitting say the 3 weeks again and 4 weeks in some places, but really in the last 2 weeks, last 10 days, it has kicked off. Lots of sync programs going on with heifers, an awful lot more this year than last year, and especially with the use of sex semen on heifers. And lads are going to be, I suppose, going forward more selective with how they breed cows, and that's where we're at the moment.
Yeah, and the weather isn't playing ball at the moment, Caelan. We all know nice, sunny, warm weather is what we want for cows bulling. Is that an issue with farmers you're talking to at the moment on farms?
I think so, MJ. Talking to farmers around the country at the moment, look, I think we're all hoping it gets better. Lads are looking at their stock. They're just wondering, are they good enough? You know, things work out. Things will work out. The weather, you know, plays a key factor in breeding, and we do need kind weather as such. I was doing a sink yesterday outside Burr in the afternoon, and we were getting absolutely hammered with rain. And at 5 o'clock yesterday evening, I was back towards Clareen and I had a t-shirt on and the sun was shining. So, you know, you're going from one extreme to another, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%, Caelan. And today was another day indicative of that. Talking about that area, the big area with AI, look, farmers love AI. Obviously, dairy farmers are different. Cows are in, it's easy enough to have them and handle them. The beef farmers, a little bit more challenging. But for every farmer, it's heat detection, heat detection, heat detection, just to know when it is right. There's so many options out there now at the moment. But again, you're on the ground, you're doing it on a daily basis. What are your thoughts in this area, Caelan? What's best?
Look, heat detection is crucial. You have 6, 8, 9 weeks of a breeding season there, depending on your system. And to make the most of that time, heat detection is crucial. So I suppose we've come a long way. We've had tail paint. We've moved on to collars, and there's boluses as well now, but I still think that the most important thing is, if you're tail painting, you know, keep it topped up. The same with your scratch cards. And the most important thing, and sometimes we can kind of forget, is getting out there. And I know lads are busy and time, but getting out for 20 minutes and 3 times a day to look at your cows and study your cows and see what's happening. You know, that's very important. But heat detection, it's came a long way over the last few years. And there is so many different ways now. But I suppose I'd be always telling the men and women that I go to get the cows painted up there. And, you know, it's just a great job. But it also gives you a chance there. You'll see, you can start off with blue, and you'll see then you'll get through your blue cows and you go on to red. And what it leaves you with then, you might have a couple of, maybe we'll call them problem cows, you know, after the first 3 or 4 weeks there. And, you know, we can say, right, they can be pulled out. He can get the vet or the scan man in to check them and see what's going on, just to get them back into, they might be cycling or whatever, you know, just to get them back in sync and get them back in that they can be bred within the couple of weeks of breeding season.
Yeah, as you alluded to there, Caelan, you'd see with calving as well, between cameras and MooCaws and all the different technology. But at the end of the day, a good stock person around the yard is what you need for all of these areas when you're handling stock, be it calving or breeding. You mentioned it earlier, a sink programme. You mentioned sex semen. Just on the topic of sex semen, 2-3 years ago, Caelan, we were hearing a lot about it. I was kind of working, lads were saying yes and no. Now it's being pushed. How would you describe it over the last, say, 3 seasons, sex semen?
I personally see the product, it has improved and improved and improved. 90% of my customers are using sex semen. And I suppose, you know, education has been a vital point, and farmers are now more educated on the product and how to use the product. So there is criteria we need to be hitting to use sex semen on a cow or a heifer. And, you know, their condition, how long they're calved, the animal's age. You know, there's quite a few things we need to be hitting. And I suppose the environment, and this year now, we'll say, might be just a little bit tougher. And especially when you breed to sex semen, you don't want any sudden changes in that, be it the heifer or the cow's diet or environment, and you know, keeping grass ahead of them if they're being fed a kilo of nuts, keep feeding the kilo of nuts, for, you know, till they go in, given that another 21 days, say, after breeding, just no major shocks to their environment, because that does have an effect on them. But as a product going forward, it's there, it's here to stay, it's getting better, and I suppose it's every company has a good choice of sex semen, and farmers are using it, and results are good, and clients are happy, you know.
Yeah, the no shock to the system is good advice, Kellen, for breeding all around, I think. Just trying to keep everything nice and relaxed, and no major stresses. Just moving on, our last point, Kellen, and that's obviously the big one, and that's the semen and the bulls it's coming from. Again, over the last couple of years, what would you say movement-wise, let's take the dairy industry, for example, is there more of an emphasis now on quality going into the dairy cow?
Yeah, so look, all AI companies would have had a brilliant selection of bulls, you know, aiming for to have the top, every AI company aims to have the top bull in the country. And I suppose things are changing in the last couple of years. You know, farmers are getting more selective of what bulls they use in the dairy scene there. You know, you can decide, okay, I have the litres within the herd, so I might try and improve the fat and protein. Or we could decide, you know, I have fat and protein and I have litres and I want to, you know, use a bull that has good feet and legs and hoof, you know. So it gives the farmer an awful lot of opportunity to breed the herd of cows that they'd like to have. And that's in a dairy sense. And I suppose in a beef sense then, the beef thing is changing too. I see a lot of Angus and Hereford going in this year and last year, and some Belgian Blue as well. And I think the big change coming in the beef breeding will be, say, the beef going into the dairy herd is the commercial beef value. You know, that's coming down the line. It's coming in. It's displayed on. It will be and is displayed on mart boards around the country, and it's going to be a great help for calf buyers. You know, that's the figure they're going to look at when they're buying calves. And I suppose to the dairymen then that are keeping their calves and keeping them as cattle and finishing them, you know, they're going to be looking at them bulls that are going to leave them, really leave the most money behind them, you know.
And that's what it's all about, Caelum. We're going to leave it there. Great rundown on it. Look, you're a busy man at the moment. You stopped to talk to me there as you're driving on to another job. So it's going to be the same again for the next period of time. What time are you starting at these mornings, Caelum? Just to try and get the work out of the way.
So at the moment there, we'll be starting around 7:15. I'll have a couple of early men and they get going then. And I suppose up until 10 o'clock at night, 9, 10 o'clock there for a couple of weeks, then it eases off. And you know, there's a chap had started with his this year, and I said to him, make sure you have a headlight there in the van. And he looked at me, he said, what would you need a headlight for? And he phoned me on Tuesday. He says, I'm gone into Burr to buy a torch. He said, yeah. I needed it last night.
He wasn't long learning. Caelum, many thanks. If people are interested, it's Eurogene AI. The website is there and your number and details are there. We'll say many thanks and best of luck for the breeding season.
Brilliant, MJ. Thanks very much for having me.
No problem at all. Caelum McNamara there, Eurogene AI. And I'm actually on their website here. And it does make everything very easy now. When you pop down, you see sires in front of you, beef, dairy beef. Go down through it all the catalogues online, all the different figures, all the different stats. And it is a wealth of information, I have to say. Moving on, and after the break, we are going to be talking about, today is May Day, and it is traditional, I should say, I'm getting tongue-tied, the traditional festival of Beautna. That's what our Celtic forefathers would have celebrated this time, roughly this time, where there was lots of different ideas and different little things that occurred in relation to agricultural livestock. One of them is a very interesting one, running your cattle through a fire and a smoke, doing something to them. So a lady called Frances Fahey from the Beautna Fire Festival is going to explain that to us in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Country Life on Midlands 103, brought to you by W. Orshaw Burlington Business Park Tullamore, supplier of New Holland's tractors in the Midlands, woorshaw.ie.
And you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103. Now, May Day, as I said at the top of the programme, signifies Bjautna. And the lady who knows lots and lots about this is Frances Fahey from the Bjautna Fire Festival in County Westmeath. Frances, many thanks for joining me this evening on the programme.
You're very welcome. I'm Frances Cody.
Frances Cody, I apologise, Frances. Thank you very much.
That's all right. I've been called worse.
Absolutely, and so have I. Frances, you are joining us from a very special site. Can you tell us exactly where you are right now?
I am indeed. I am halfway up the summit to on the hill of Uisneach in County Westmeath.
And we are here in the Midlands, and listeners from throughout Laois, Offaly and Westmeath. And for people who may not be familiar, much as I wasn't until I started doing a bit of research about this, about the Hill of Uisneach, what exactly is it? Where is it located? A little bit of background on it, please.
Sure. So we are located between Mullingar town and Athlone town, and we're on the R390 just outside the little village of Loch na Valley. And basically, we are one of the six Irish royal sites. We are up for UNESCO World Heritage status jointly with the other sites. And we're home of the Great Bjautna Fire.
And the Bjautna Fire and the Bjautna Fire Festival, you have a big festival, big event coming up on the week after next, 11th, I believe. And yeah. You can tell us about that in a moment. But the background to all of this, what used to happen on this hill in times gone by?
Okay, so there's quite a bit of history here, but to shorten it briefly, Bjautna is one of our dates on the Irish calendar, so people might be familiar with Lunasa, Samhain, Imbolc, and obviously Bjautna, which is Irish for May. And in ancient times, the high kings and their tribal leaders, their chiefs and their kings, from around the country, would have gathered in a ritual celebration, I suppose, here on the Hill of Uisneach. And a great fire would have been lit and celebrations would have happened maybe over a period of maybe 2 to 3 weeks, we think. We're not too sure, but a huge fire would have been lit on the hill of the summit here, or the summit of the hill, rather. And it would have been visible to, over a quarter of the country. From the top of our hill, we can actually see 20 counties spread out around from us, north, south, east and west, undisturbed views.
Excellent stuff. And all of these festivals have an agricultural significance. Bjautna's agricultural significance is what exactly, Frances?
They do indeed. So basically what we're doing is we're moving from spring out into summer. So this would have been an agricultural festival. Very, very closely associated with, for example, cattle, the cattle would have been the money of the day, or that was your wealth. But they would have been taken from indoors to outdoors at this time of year. And we still do exactly the same thing now these days, where the animals come back out onto the land. So it's kind of representing, new life, longer days, fertility, growth crop, plant life, animal life, flora and fauna. And to our ancestors, that would have been huge because the ground around them was their sustenance, was their clothing, was their homes, was their, we used everything that was around us. So it would have been a great time coming out from the darker, colder months to come out and just everybody get together and enjoy the celebrations.
There was an interesting tradition with cattle and the fires. Can you explain that to us, please?
I can. So one of the traditions would have been, along with the fires being lit, the smoke from the fires, cattle would have been driven through it. And basically what the smoke does is it cleanses the hides of the animals and gets rid of the ticks, for example, or any disease that would have been on the animals. So this is represented in part of our festival, not with herds of cattle now with four legs, but we have a procession during the festival, and this is represented during the procession.
And your own festival, which is coming up on the 11th of May, can you give us a little bit of background on that, please, and if people, what happens on the day and then how people can become involved in it?
Absolutely. So we welcome about 5,000 people to the hill every year for Bealtaine, and they come from every corner in the world. And what happens is we kind of, how would you say, it's crafting, it's smithing, we have demonstrations and workshops, and we try to look back to some of the skills that might not be employed anymore because of industry. And we will have storytelling, Os Gaeilge, and in English. We will have traditional old Irish games coming in as well. And they're kind of made to bigger scale so that every, you know, family, children, adults can get involved. We lay them out on the ground. We have archery, if you fancy getting married, hand fasted for a year and a day or for the weekend. We have that as well. So it's kind of basically, and food we have as well, and we've got crafts also. We might have local crafters and crafters from around Ireland selling some of their wares.
What is the best way to get a ticket, Francis? I know what normally happens is we'll stay talking, I'll run out of time, so I just want to get that info in before we finish up.
Okay, well we're on the last few tickets, and that's not trying to sell them because we're on the last few tickets. If we go to www.ishnock.ie, and you will be able to book in from there.
Super stuff, Francis. I have to say many thanks for joining me. Give us a rundown on Bealtaine. It's a really, really interesting part from a farming perspective, and then your lovely festival, which is taking place next week as well. Look, you're going to be flat out. You're going to be busy, busy, busy. As you say, your tickets are nearly gone, and I'm sure they will completely sell out. Francis Cody, many thanks for joining me here on the programme.
You're very welcome. We'll chat soon.
Thank you. Francis Cody there from the Bealtaine Fire Festival. It's taking place on the hill of Ishnock, and it's ishnock.ie. Really, really important and powerful place located right here in the Midlands. And isn't it interesting the things you come across? The little part of it about running the cattle through the fires as well. There's a little bit of research on that. And they said it was a great one as well for cattle that were indoors for the winter. It would relieve them of the ticks and the lice, the smoke could get rid of them. And obviously they'd go out and do a good thrive on the grass then. And the way the weather is going with us and with farmers of the modern day, isn't it going to be, Bealtaine is going to be our traditional day of letting cattle out to grass the way things are going, because spring is spring the last few years, and we're seeing it this year that, look, while cattle are out the last few weeks, there's still silage being fed, they're coming in, they're coming out, they're going back again. We're probably not going to be a million miles off the 1st of May, Bealtaine being the actual turnout date of stock this year. Who would have thought it? Same thing happening over 1,000 years ago in Ireland. Now, moving on, and after the break, we're going to be talking to Jimmy Cosgrove, the ICSA Suckler Chair. This is about new training that needs to be done if you're a skep farmer. This has to be done by the 15th of November. And also Michael Flanagan from the Livestock Hall of Fame Awards. They take place this weekend. Michael's going to have info on those, so stay tuned.
Country Life on Midlands 103. Brought to you by W. Orshaw, Burlington Business Park, Tullamore. Supplier of New Holland's Tractor in the Midlands, worshaw.ie.
And you're very welcome back to the final segment of this evening's programme, Country Life, here on Midlands 103. In a moment, Michael Flanagan's going to be talking about the Livestock Hall of Fame Awards, which are taking place this weekend. But in advance of that, we have Jimmy Cosgrave from the ICSA, and he's speaking to us about the skep training, which we have to do. Jimmy, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
Thank you very much, MJ.
Jimmy, there's training needs to be done for skep, and that's fine. Farmers aren't overly surprised with that. I think it was mentioned at the outset of it. But it's the method in which this training is going to have to be done is what you have an issue with in the ICSA. Can you shed a little bit of light on the subject for us, please?
Yes, MJ. We all signed up for skep, and we were aware that there was an online training course. As to the extent of how big it was, we weren't just made aware of that, but we've since found out recently that there's an online course available with 7 modules, of which it's possibly going to take 30 minutes per module, and you're talking about maybe 200 and 250 or 260 minutes, which is the guts of 4 hours for training for a farmer on a platform that he's not familiar with. The department have given us an undertaking that they will give us all the help we need, and the modules don't all have to be completed at one time. You could stop after two modules, you could stop after one module or half a module. But in practice, these older farmers are not going to be up for that.
Yeah, so it's all online, Jimmy. And I suppose your issue is that some farmers just aren't going to be familiar with how to do it. I see that the modules here, just have a few of them in front of me: breeding strategies, genotyping, weighing, calving surveys, farm safety and livestock handling. So look, they are beneficial, but I suppose it would be ideal if maybe there was a centre in maybe one in County Laois, one in County Offaly, etc. throughout the country, where these could be maybe ran live on a screen or whatnot, and a farmer could come, watch it, sign his name, maybe get his or her name, maybe get lunch at it. There'd be a social aspect to it as well. Something like that would be ideal, I guess.
Yes, that's what we in ICSA have been approaching the department, or trying to get somewhere with the department to encourage that sort of interaction rather than this. Because another stipulation is obviously that you have to have an email address, and you speak to a 70 or 75 year old farmer, you know, he hasn't got an email address. He's going to be reliant on some friend or family member to help him do this. And it's an unworkable sort of a system that they've devised for this training. And we in ICSA would certainly encourage the town hall approach, where we go to a central point and get the training, and stress on each farmer that he has to attend. But if he attends, we can get through it together. And it'd be, as you say, it'd be a more of a social event, or could be added as a bit of a social event. And there'd be a better feeling all around from farmers' point of view that they participate in something like this. So that's what we're trying to...
Jimmy, I think it's 100% what you're saying. I think it's exactly right. And if the younger farmers, or the more, may not be younger, but farmers who are more capable with online, want to do it online, that's absolutely fine. But I think there needs to be a physical a place, you say a town hall approach set up as well for this. It's something we'll keep an eye on here in the programme. We'll be pushing from our side, and no doubt it won't be something that'll be left to the wayside. And we'll get you back maybe for an update on it in the not too distant future. I'm going to let you go, Jimmy, because I have to move on. So I'm going to say thanks for joining me here on the programme.
You're more than welcome, and thank you.
Very welcome, Jimmy Cosgrove there from the ICSA. I'm moving on because Michael Flanagan from the Livestock Hall of Fame Awards is on the line. Michael, many thanks for taking my call this evening and joining me here on the programme.
You're welcome, MJ. But listening to Jimmy there, I think every farmer will soon have to have a secretary.
we're not too far away from it, Michael. There's no question about that. We talked about red tape on the programme with forestry at the start. I think the secretary will have to get very capable in all different areas of agriculture.
Yeah, yeah.
No question about it. Michael, you have a big weekend coming up. You're on the go a number of years with your Hall of Fame Awards. Will you tell us exactly how long you're going and what's on offer this weekend, please?
Yeah, this, believe it or not, MJ, will be our 20th year honouring persons from the bovine, equine and ovine industries in Ireland. You know, the people over the years have given outstanding service, dedication and commitment to their particular breed. And Sunday night in the Sheraton Hotel at Lone, we have Michael Fitzmaurice, TD, will be presenting the recipients with the rewards. We have a bovine from the Midlands area. We have a Belgian Blue representative, Miles McDermott from Tullow. The limousine recipient will be Kevin Bohan from Port Laois. The Holstein Friesian is probably a man you know very well, Tommy Findlay from Tullamore. Mm. And the commercial cattle is Tommy Fitz from Clonmacnoise. In the ovine section, we have Jim Gahan from Carlow. And we have a local person representing the Irish Draft Horse Association, Chris Mannion from the Wingate Stud in Doon, County Offaly. We also have a Farmer's Oscar Award, and that's going to Seamus Dunn from Ballyfin in Port Leash for his invention called the Crushmate. And then we have a Lifetime Achievement Award. That's the FBD National Hall Lifetime Achievement Award going to Willie Mullins, the horse trainer from Class Sutton in Bagnallstown in Carlow. And then we naturally, you know, we can't go on without sponsors, and we're lucky to have FBD to come on board as our title sponsor, the FBD Insurance, and Pat Gilligan, the area manager for the Midlands and West, will be with us on Sunday night. In the bovine section, we have Fabian Payard. He's the co-founder and CEO of Herdwatch. And last year, Fabian accepted the Farmer's Oscar Award for his invention called Herdwatch, which I believe saves hours and hours on herd paperwork. And in the ovine section, then we have Keepack Group. They are sponsoring the ovine section with a few more associate sponsors, Certified Irish Angus Producer Group, Bord Bia, Oriva Homeland, and the Farmers Journal, all associate sponsors. So we should have over 350 guests attending on Sunday night, and it should be a great night with all those people representing 19 counties throughout Ireland.
Fantastic stuff, Michael. You put an awful lot of work into it. Willie Mullins is a big draw now. He's a big, big name for an event like this. And it's great to have him, great to be honouring him as well. He is an absolute legend of the Irish equine industry. But as you say, you're awarding people who may not be as well known as Willie Mullins, but have put their heart and soul and passionate experience of years and years into their different breeds. And it's great to give a tip of the cap to them.
It is indeed, MJ. And, you know, to see some of them there in their twilight years, coming up to the podium to accept the reward, it makes it all worthwhile, you know, that people in their 80s or even 90s being honoured and acknowledged for what they have done for the breed. You know, you have to sit back and say, look, we have to keep this going. And again, our sincere thanks to our sponsors, because without them, we would not be able to continue.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. Michael, we're just out of time. It's perfect timing. I'm going to say many thanks, and I'm sure your event is going to be a great celebration on Sunday evening. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks again, MJ, for your support.
Michael Flanagan from the Livestock Hall of Fame Awards. That event is taking place this Sunday, 5th of May. And great to see it going for 20 years in a row. This is the 20th year. And that is it for this evening's programme. I'm going to say many thanks to all of my guests this evening. We started with Jason Fleming from the IFA. Thanks to Rachel Timoney here from the newsroom, who had a chat with Minister McConlogue in relation to Ash Dieback. Also, Kayla McNamara from Eurogene AI spoke to us about the breeding season. Francis Cody from the Beautina Fire Festival takes place the 11th of May. If you're interested in tickets, it's ishnach, ishnach.ie. Jimmy Cosgrove from the ICSA spoke about the SCEP training, and they're pushing a more physical approach, along with Michael Flanagan from the Hall of Fame Awards. The show is repeated on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. until 8 a.m. I'll be back with you this time next week, as always, and hopefully it'll be a bit more kinder and milder. If you want to get our podcast, we are MJ Space Cleary, C-L-E-R-Y, wherever you get your podcasts. Good night and God bless.
Midlands 103, brought to you by W. Orshaw, Burlington Business Park, Tullamore, supplier of New Holland's tractors in the Midlands, worshaw.ie. It's almost 8 o'clock. Time to think of your next car. See the 241 Volkswagen range at Michael Moore, Port Arlington, vw.ie.